Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the second general epistle of Peter, at the third chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3. And let us first sing from Psalter 257, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. And let all the peoples of the earth give glory to the Lord. Give him the glory, do his name, and strength to him accord. And what follows in 257, 3, 4, and 5.
Amen. We would like to read together the second epistle of Peter and thereof chapter 9. 2 Peter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of their creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory now, both now and forever. Amen.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we are gathered one more time in this quickly bygone year before thy holy countenance. We have begun it together, and now we finish it together before thee in thy house. And when we, at the end of this year, do look back upon our life, then it behooves us to humble ourselves before Thee, because Thy mercies over us, they are so very great, which we are so busy in this world continually, that we are overlooking day by day, that we do see but the smallest part, that we take for granted the greatest part, and that our heart goes not out to Thee as it ought to. Wilt Thou grant us broken hearts in this night, under Thy sparing hand and great goodness? And wilt Thou grant us also understanding hearts? For we read in Thy Word that man that understandeth not is like the beast that perish. And we have just heard out of Thy holy Word that there shall come in the last day scoffers, saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." And yet they are ignorantly willing of their creation, scoffing at it, ignorantly willing, willingly ignorant, that by the word of the heavens, by the word of Thee, the heavens and the earth were made, willingly ignorant, that the earth standing in the water and out of the water, that was consumed by water, willingly ignorant, and that that same earth that is now kept in store, that is reserved unto fire in the last day, so that the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and all things will be purified, so that there may be a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. O Lord, that Thou may grant us also to take heed of the word of Thy servant, that we may give all diligence, and that we may be found of Thee in peace, without spot. O that we may be given, when we may see about us the signs that it is indeed the last days, and that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Thou knowest our laziness, our slothfulness, our carelessness, our busyness with all that is in the time. Oh, we ask of Thee to stop us upon our way. And where else is our hope? And for a people who are dead in sins and in trespasses, born of our father Adam, with no desire and inclination after Thee. Lord, then something has to take place in our life between the cradle and the grave. That is not our work. Our work that is the work of death. Thy work that is the work of life. We beseech Thee, Lord, to remember us yet. For the time is short, and we know not our life for a moment, and as this year draws in this evening to its close, our life also is quickly flying away. Oh, that we may be given to take heed to the warnings of Thy word, and all the callings that are about us every day that leave us so hard and so cold. Oh, that we may be shaken by Thee. Oh, that Thou wouldst come with a still small voice in this evening hour. That Thy word may have power and that we may be given to hide our face before Thee. That we may realize that we cannot stand before Thee. That we cannot appear before Thee. And that we have to die and that we cannot die. That Thou may remember in a special way all those that mourn. The widows, the widowers also in our midst. Thou knowest their place. Husbands and wives that must now miss their wives and their husbands. Thou must now miss the fathers and the mothers. Remember them in their loneliness. Remember also the afflicted and the sick. We lay them before Thee once again. When we are healthy and well, we go on every day. We think for a moment and then we think no more. But they are bearing that burden daily. Oh, that Thou may remember them and that Thou may visit and help them in all their need. That they may know that Thou livest. That they may know and experience Thy power for the body not only and not most importantly. But that the soul may cry to Thee, oh, teach us to pray. Teach us to cry to Thee. And wilt Thou supply for all the needy, all the handicapped, all those that have needs of the mind also. Look upon us as a congregation, families, fathers, mothers, children, grandparents, great-grandparents, those that are not married, wilt Thou look upon each and every one of us. For each one has his own circumstances, and each one is traveling either upon that broad way or that narrow way. Lord, wilt Thou take us by heart and by hand. Thou knowest how undeserving that we are. Take reasons out of Thyself. And wilt Thou look upon us in this evening. Help us to bring Thy word. And wilt Thou minister unto us out of Thy fullness. That Thy word may have power this night. For there will come a last time, and then there must come for each and every one of us that first time. And that first time that word has stricken our hearts, that first time that we have felt and experienced the power of Thy hand, that mighty arrow. Wilt Thou look upon us in the bringing of Thy word. Lord, strengthen us for this work. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding. Give us to know also the matters, the precious matters, of which we are called to speak. Also in this evening hour. Feed Thy people, forgive our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 253, stanzas 1, 5, 6, and 7. O Lord, Thou judge of all the earth, to whom all vengeance doth belong, arise and show Thy glory forth, requite the proud, condemn the wrong. 1, 5, 6, and 7 of Psalter 253. beloved congregation, that we have heard in this evening how that the Apostle Peter has written that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, they are as one day. In eternity, there is no succession of time. That is something that we are not able to understand, that we cannot fathom. But the Lord, He has created time. He has created time for a certain period of existence, after which He says that there shall be time no longer. And what shall be then when there shall be time no longer? Well, we can read that the Apostle Paul, he says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Thus, the judgment. How often do we think, do we meditate about the judgment? Because there is not one of us, young or old, who will not sooner or later, children, can be as that little boy, only when we are 13 years old. Then he had to stand before the Lord in judgment. Thus, there is a personal judgment. Then there is also another judgment. That is that judgment that will take place in a public way at the end of this world, where then there will be the resurrection of the dead, and where all we shall stand together before our judge, to be placed on the right hand or to be placed on the left hand, there is no way in between. Thus, there is the personal judgment at the end of our life. Thus, there is that public judgment also at the end of time. But there is actually a people who come to know another judgment in their life. And this we wish with the Lord's help to speak of in this evening out of the words of our text, which you can find once again in the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 20, the middle part of the sixth verse. Joshua 20, verse 6, the middle part, until he stand before the congregation for judgment. So far, the words of our text. The manslayer redeemed with judgment. First, concerned in the city before the judgment. Second, established in the city through the judgment. Thus, the manslayer redeemed with judgment, first concerned in the city before the judgment. and second, established in the city through the judgment. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. Thus, that manslayer, when he would come to that city of refuge, he was not at an end. No, there was more. The life of a person that is not just either existence or non-existence. No, there is much more to our life. There is the experience of our life. That is in our natural life. Then we know children, young people, that there are those who experience what it is to be married. There are those who experience what that is to have children. Then there are those who are too young to be married. And then they can hear what that means from those who have experienced what that marriage is. But they don't know what that marriage is. Are they then alive? Say, yes, we are alive. But we are young. And then we do not have the same experiences as those who have become older. And it is not so only in natural life, but it is also so in spiritual life. So that there are those who may speak of things unto that young church that young church has never experienced, even though they have been made alive by that Spirit of the Lord. How is it when that manslayer now came unto that city of refuge? What do we read? We read that he shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city. Declare his cause. Why? Well, that man did not come to that city to sojourn for a night. You understand, many people will come to that city. But they do not all come to that city for the same reason. One of them is just going to pass through, and he wishes for this night to receive a place where he may stay, and in the morning he is going to go on. But we read now that this manslayer, that he has to declare his cause at the gate of that city. Why? Because he is seeking something else from that city. Not just a place to stay for that night. No, but he is seeking the protection of that city. And he is not seeking that city only as it is standing as all the other cities in the land. But he is seeking that city actually as the city that has been appointed by the Lord. Thus that manslayer, when he comes to that gate of that city, and then he is pointing at those elders unto the word of the Lord. Then that man, he is taking hold of that word of the Lord, saying to the elders that he wishes to come into that city because he is a manslayer. And because this city is that city which has been so appointed by the Lord for manslayers. Thus, faith, what is that doing? That is taking hold of the word of the Lord. The word of men, but it is taking hold of the word of the Lord. That there is an appointment by the Lord of a city of refuge for a sinful man. Then it is by the revelations of the Lord that this man, he has come to know this, that knowledge of faith. We have heard of this. But he has also come to agree with this. And now he is also seeking that he may come into that city, that he may have an entrance into that city. What must those elders do? We read, and they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. Does not seem that there was a judgment at the gate of that city, unless that there was some kind of a preliminary judgment in that city, but we do not read of it. But those elders, they are commanded to give that man a temporary asylum, a temporary protection. Thus, it is not their place immediately to distinguish, but it is their place, it says, that they shall take him into the city. In the parable of the tares, we read that the enemy came and that he sowed tares among the wheat. And now those servants, they went, they said, shall we now go and gather up those tares? And that husbandman says, no. You must let those tares grow with that wheat. Why? Lest, he says, that you bring up, you pluck up that wheat also. Thus, the office bearers, they may have their own judgment, they may have their own personal judgment, but they are not called to judge by the Lord. They can have their private thoughts, and they can and they ought to warn in love. But then it is not their place to judge their fellow man. But that does not mean that there is no judgment coming. We read that in Numbers 35, but if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, or have cast upon him anything without laying of weight, or with any stone wherewith a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him that he die, and was not his enemy, neither sought his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the slayer and the revenger of blood, according to these judgments. And the congregation shall deliver the slayer out of the hand of the revenger of blood, and the congregation shall restore him to the city of his refuge whither he was fled. So we read in our text that he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation in judgment. Thus, that manslayer, he had yet to be sent back to that city where that crime has taken place. Back to that place where he was well known and where that there could be a proper judgment made concerning his sin. If he was judged to be a willful sinner, he was delivered to be slain. And when he was judged to be a non-willful sinner, a manslayer, then he was returned again unto that city of refuge. Thus, before that judgment, in that temporary asylum, there were, you understand, manslayers who were dwelling in that city and who had no right to be in that city. Why? Because that city, that was not for every manslayer. That city, that was not for that willful manslayer. And yet undoubtedly, there were those who have tried to take refuge unto that city, although they had no right to it. And what did they receive? They received a temporary protection in that city. How was it for that man? He comes in that city, and in an outward way, then that avenger of blood, he is restrained from touching that man. There are walls about that city. Thus, he receives a formal protection. He receives a protection for a little time. How was it in his heart, children? What do you think? How was it in his heart? Do you think that he had peace in his heart? Say no, every time that he thought about what? The judgment. Yes. Every time that he thought about the judgment, then that man, he has become very afraid. Why? Because outwardly there is some protection, but inwardly there is no protection. In his conscience, then he knew that he has taken hold of that city without right to be there. That man, he knows that he has a lie in his right hand. What is it? Now to take hold of Christ without right. What is that? Is there any man in this whole world that does not have a warrant to take hold of Christ, to flee to Christ as that city of refuge? Well, the Lord Jesus said himself, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thus, the righteous in themselves, they have no warrant. They have no invitation to flee to him in their righteousness. Did that ever happen? Yes. The rich young ruler, He said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What did the Lord Jesus say to him? Go thy way. John the Baptist, he came preaching, we read, the baptism of repentance unto the remission of sins. Thus, it is in the way of repentance. It is not in the way of being clean. It is not in the way of self-cleansing, no. But without that repentance, there is no place for him. We have now that picture in that willful manslayer, because we read there was a man, he was a man of hatred. Is there sorrow in the heart of that man because of the death of his fellow? No. Because in the heart of that man, there is hatred for his fellow man. Thus, there is in him no repentance. What an awful judgment that is now coming for those who are taking hold of Christ in their own righteousness. Without right, they receive a place. Yes, they receive a place among the children of the Lord. They receive a place maybe even at the Holy Supper of the Lord. Then it is not the place of the elders to say to them, you must now go away. It is not our place to make that judgment. Do they receive true comfort? No. Impossible. Because there is actually a lie then in our right hand. And then a man, he does know nothing of that inward cleansing of his own conscience of his sins. Temporary faith that can last to the day of our death. But where is it rooted out? It is rooted out in the judgment. Christ says, many shall say unto me, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils and done many wonderful works. Religious people, not wicked people in the world, no. A religious man. Bunyan, he says, then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gates of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. Thus a way to hell, out of the midst of the church, even as a way to hell, out of the midst of the world. But come, there is now also another people. There is another people who have sought that city of refuge. That was not that willful manslayer. No, that was that unwillful manslayer. It was that man who, for whom that city that was actually appointed by the Lord. And now he comes to the gate of that city. How does he come there? He comes there as a transgressor. A transgressor. He comes there as a guilty man. He comes there in the sorrow of that deed. In that grief for his fellow man. And in his guilt, and he receives what he receives, an entrance into that city. That is a wonder for that man. What does he experience?
Well,
he receives a place there. And he experiences that avenger of blood that is not able to touch him while he remains in that city. Thus, that man experiences something of the safety of that city. No, he does not need to protect himself. That is what he had to do outside of that city. He had to protect himself. He had to defend himself. And if he was not stronger than an avenger of blood, then he would die. Then that law that would condemn him. But now when he comes within that city, then there are walls. And those walls, they are protecting him. And he experiences that there are elders who are now taking up his case for him. They stand for him against that avenger of blood. They are now going to help him. That is a Levitical city. It is a priesthood under which that man, he is finding cover. So that he receives protection from that appointment of the Lord. That was the promise of the Lord. That was what has drawn him. That is now also something of what he is experiencing also in that city. Oh, what a blessed thing is faith in exercise. Because there that guilty man, he may taste something of that safety that is in that mediator. Then he may have sometimes such blessed views of him that he may see him by times, especially in that way that he is presented and that people for whom he has come. Oh, what blessed views then he has by times of his humiliations, of his incarnation, his humble birth, his sufferings, his sacrifice. What blessed views by times that he has of his exaltations, his might, his power, his victory over that Satan. And then, oh, that man, he experiences something of the safety of that city. Then he feels so safe from that avenger of blood, from the curse. Then that curse of the law that is not able to touch him. And yet, let us go with that man for a moment. Let us go with that man and see him in the evening when he is lying himself down upon his bed. And then we see him that he is tossing from one side to the other side. And we see that he is not able to get his rest in sleep. And why not? Well, because he is thinking about the future. And what now still has to come for him in the future? That is the judgment. That he still needs to be sent to his congregation. And there that judgment is going to be made concerning him. Oh, that judgment still has to come. He still does not know what the outcome of that judgment is going to be. And so that city, although he experiences something of the safety of that city, as still that city that is not yet made completely sure unto that man. That has to do with that personal right. Does he actually have a personal right from the Lord that he may abide in that city? Oh, there are times that he may believe that the Lord is going to do it for him. Oh, there are times when he believes the Lord is going to take up his case. There are times when he sees himself as that manslayer. And when he may view that child in that manger, in that stable, and in his conscience, when a man knows in his conscience, even without thinking of the uprightness of his confession and of his repentance, then there is a hope that the Lord, he will also in that judgment take up his case. And there are times that that man, he is so quiet. Our fathers, they have spoken about God's children in this concerned state of their life, that they are coming under the covering righteousness of Christ. That is not that their sin, that they know that that sin is forgiven yet, but that by faith, that sin may be covered, and that they cannot see it, and that law that is standing away by the walls of that city of refuge. But then there are other times that man, he cannot see it, and he cannot believe it, that faith that is not able to take hold of it. How now is that judgment going to go? When he has to stand before that congregation, he sees that book of the law. He feels something of that curse, and he fears. He fears what? You say that man, he has experienced already so much in his life. That is true. Then he has experienced what it means to be a manslayer. He has experienced what it means also for faith to take refuge unto that mediator. That man can tell you what a safety that he has felt in that mediator. But that man, he is so often still fearing. Fearing why? Because he says, was the beginning right? And then the Lord, he is being pointed back. And then he says, how now shall it go for me? Because was my repentance actually ever even true? Oh, that is now the way of that concerned church. That concerned church that is still yet existing before the judgment. We want to see now what happens when that church is established through that judgment. Let us sing 143, 3 and 4. From all pollution make me clean. yea, whiter than the snow. Oh, let my broken heart rejoice, and gladness make me know. And what follows in 3 and 4 of 143. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment. Isaiah, he writes, Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. The redemption of the church of God that is fully according to the law of God. Christ, he did not come to destroy the law. No, he came to fulfill the law. Thus, he came in the form of a servant. He has placed himself under that law, being himself the giver of that law, placed himself under that law in order that he may fulfill it. Did the Father reduce, did he lower the requirements of the law in order that they may be fulfilled by his Son? Because it was his Son, that is impossible. Because he is unchangeable, and the attributes of God, they must be upheld. But the Father has shown his satisfaction concerning the fulfillment of that whole law in the resurrection of Christ. That was his justification. That is, that he was shown to have fulfilled that whole law of God, without which there can be no life, without which there is death. So that resurrection of Christ, that is the proof from the judge himself that that whole law has been fulfilled, even to the last drop. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment. But that Zion shall not be redeemed only in an objective way with judgment, but they will also be redeemed with judgment in a subjective way. There came a time that that manslayer, he had to be brought back unto his own congregation, his own city. And there that manslayer, he has stood before his judge in that city. And there was a judgment. Concerning what? There was a judgment concerning the right of that man to take refuge unto one of those cities of refuge. Yes or no? Thus, you understand that there was a difference when this man was returned to his city of refuge from how that it was for him before that he came into judgment. He did not dwell in that city afterwards the same as he dwelt in that city beforehand. Why not? Because now this man, he is established in his right to remain in that city. You say a right? Is that a right in himself? No. That is a right given unto him by the Lord. Because the Lord, he has appointed that city for those manslayers. And now it is through that judgment that that man may come to know that he also has a right from the Lord to be joined unto that city. Thus, that is established for him in a very personal way. How is it now different for that man? When he is dwelling in that city afterwards, as compared to how he was dwelling in that city beforehand. Well, that man, he has a new experience. The old Rav Verhoef, he says something takes place in the life of that man that can no more be undone. Because that concerned church that is often afraid, this man, he has no more fear of that manslayer. Well, there were times before that he also had no more fear of that manslayer. So you say, how is it different? Well, now that man has no more fear that he will eventually be delivered yet unto that manslayer. Thus he is established in the knowledge of his safety because of his right to be in that city. Thus he has a foundation under his feet. He is standing on a good foundation. He may know that. The Lord, he has taken him out of that horrible pit, and the Lord, he has set the feet of that man upon a rock, immovable. There is a people. There are not so many of them who are able to speak about what this is. That is, that they may be established in Christ through the judgment. Thus, there is not only that judgment in the end of our life, there is not only that judgment that is that public judgment in the end of the world, but there is a judgment which God's children may sometimes be given to experience in the very court of their own conscience. And that is a people who are given to know what it is in the court of their own conscience to stand before their judge. That is with the accusers that are standing with them before the Lord. How do they stand there? They stand there as a guilty manslayer. What do you think you will say when you will have to stand before your judge? There will not be one answer to 1,000 questions. That man, he has nothing to say. He stands there in his guilt. He stands there agreeing, loving the justice of the Lord. He stands there agreeing that the Lord is righteous when he will cast him away. There can be no other way if the Lord will receive his honor and if that justice of God will be satisfied. It is not that man that speaks there, but it is a surety that takes up the case of that man. And when that surety is taking up his case, and that judge is speaking to say, deliver him from going down into the pit, I have found a ransom. Then that man, he is established in his right, from the Lord with that mediator, that is a people for whom it becomes different. How does it become different? How is it with that concerned church? There is a concerned church for whom that it is sometimes like the waves of the sea. Because when that faith may be an exercise, then they may experience and feel something of the safety of that city by that faith. But God's children know that that faith is not always an exercise. But those now that may be established in Him, Paul, he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then there is for that people an establishment in Christ, in that safety that is in Him. It is not that the condition of that people never changes. Because we can read of that bride that she is on a bed of slothfulness. But the state of that people that is now firm. Job, he says, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Thus, they receive a knowledge of their justification before the Lord. Then the law cannot condemn them. And that curse that cannot follow them, because there is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Blessed people. Congregation, it is the end of the year. It is now the last service. For us, a picture. We have to die. Can you die? Can you die? We have to die. But can we die? We do not know when our death is coming. Did you ever learn to die? Oh, that we would learn to die before that we have to die. Think often, children, about the judgment. That is what is about tonight. Because that judgment is coming, and we do not know when. Just think. Tonight, what will you say? What will you say? And we will appear before His Majesty. What will be laid before us? His law. His law. Will you take it tonight and lay it before you? And go now from commandment to commandment. And ask yourself, what shall I say to the first one? And to the second, to all the law of the Lord. We know what is now going to be laid before us. There will be no surprise. Oh, ask the Lord to make you then upright. Oh, ask the Lord to show you who you are. Ask the Lord to make you that manslayer, to show unto you your guilt, that we may be honest with our soul, just the same as we will have to be honest when we are in that day set before the light of His countenance. Why? Because there is today yet the proclamation of a city of refuge. You have heard it. A proclamation of that city. But that is congregation coming to an end. That is soon coming to an end. Because this year that has so quickly gone by, and our life is too, and the callings, they are coming. This one, that one, younger, middle-aged, older. How many also in our own community? Oh, do we take to heart every one of them? They have stood in the judgment of God. People of the Lord, you also have to die. Can you die? Can you die? You have experienced things in your life. You can tell about them. Can you die with it? Death, that remains the last enemy. But do you know what the apostle says? He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Why? For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For he says, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessed, blessed dying. No, there is no dying. That is the beginning of living. That is what death is transformed into for that people. That is the beginning of an eternal life. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Thou knowest the heart of each one of us. One last time, Thy word has been brought this year. O bring Thou that word in our hearts. Make us jealous of that people who may know that they have a right from Thee to that city. Oh, give us to know something of that peace, of that rest, of that assurance. Wilt Thou bring us safely to our homes this night? Wilt Thou grant us rest in the night? And bring us with desire in Thy house in the morning. Spare each and every one from a sudden and an unprepared death. And give Thy word a place yet. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 421 and 2. God shall arise and by His might put all His enemies to flight. With shame and consternation, 1 and 2 of 420. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessed.